This is Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. You can find out more at the website, allbook-books.com, and the irreverently reverent Substack page, Musings from Between the Lines. This week's episode is prompted by, was walking past the front door to go to the backyard and seeing a small package left just outside the front door, a package for someone else, but I noticed it and it made me think of the Zen garden. Zen garden, if you are not familiar, basically is the opposite of English gardening, where everything is just beautiful and lush and the flowers are perfectly manicured and everything is the perfect height and such like. The Zen garden is, you can look at photos online, is basically a sand and a few rocks in there. But they're not just any rocks. There's a whole process that comes with the choice of the rock and then the positioning of the rock. And basically the only care that I know of is that it is raked with like a large rake, and so the sand is in kind of swirly patterns to emulate the waters of the ocean from whence the sand comes and is associated with. So many years ago, on my patio, I built a tiny little Zen garden. I don't know, maybe 3 feet by 3 feet, something like that. And I just took some little 1x2, whatever, wood. I made a wood frame and I put it there and I filled it with sand and I put some sort of rocks and some other stuff that has symbolic meanings to me. And the idea, the plan was not to do anything, just to observe. So part of this observation process was that, I don't remember exactly, but just for the story's sake, say weeks went by and it looked the same. And then all of a sudden one day I saw an ant crawling across. And then weeks went by and then one day an autumn leaf fell into the Zen garden. So part of the idea obviously is to heighten the awareness and the observation. So to my understanding, it's kind of in some way serves as a template for paying attention and to observation of what is and what is not, and then if something changes. So that's what came to mind when I think that's so applicable to every day, where we have a certain amount of things are in basically in their places, typically where we left them, unless you can't find stuff, which sometimes happens for me. But basically we have this kind of view of the world, or if you're paying attention, that's where the Sherlock Holmes comes in, that we have a sort of sense of this, you know, this belongs and this is, everything is in its place. So I think that is a good way, by being aware of that, then it helps to notice when something is different, whether something is added or is missing. So the Sherlock Holmes part of the title of this show is that over the years, probably one of the most influential figures in my observational skills is from reading and watching the Sherlock Holmes stories, because it added to my heightened sense of awareness and observation. Some of that it may be innate as a writer and observer type, just notice stuff. But I think a lot of it is heightened by the what I call, you know, what the could call a Sherlock Holmes effect of just noticing, and not just things, but also of people. Noticing, you know, you see someone whose hair is always perfectly combed, and then one day it's like a few strands are sticking out, and that's the kind of thing Sherlock Holmes would notice, like, oh, the hair is different, they were in a hurry, or something is troubling them that they didn't have time, or something distracted them that they didn't have time to do their hair in the same way. So like if I saw that, I might say, you know, hey, everything all right with you today? And then somebody might open up and say, oh my god, thank you asked. So You can put that Sherlock Holmes stuff to to good use in a personal and in way of caring about people or just checking in with people, just as a personal way of caring for people and caring for one's environment, especially if you consider, say, with gardening. Part of my learnings from gardening, having grown up in the city, was to actually notice things like, oh, look at the beautiful flowers, and look at how much the leaves have grown, and that's nice. And but then when I started getting into the gardening, I would look more closely, and then I would notice, wait a second, what's that, insect doing there? Or wait a minute, there's some part that needs pruned, or whatever it is. So, that's just the Zen garden observational way, and Sherlock Holmes in the Zen garden to keep an eye on things and people. And the other amazing thing that happened with the Zen garden is that after some amount of years, I've lost track how many years, I think it's about 10 years, but a little something started to grow. And now it has been that long, and now I call it the miracle tree, because the sand was put on top of a concrete patio, and something started to grow, and then it grew enough to be like a little mini tree. It would put out leaves, and now this year is probably the most amazing year yet. It is probably six, more than, it's more than 6 feet tall, with, I don't know, 15, 20 something branches, thin branches with leaf on either side coming out. And I don't know what it's rooted in. Maybe it's rooted, maybe the somehow the roots went beneath the concrete into the soil. I'm not sure. But that to me is just, I call it the miracle tree, because all I did was put some sand and in a box, in a frame, and I didn't do anything to it. That was part of the Zen garden thing, is not to do anything, but just to let it be. And so over the years, that tree being just grew on its own. And now, and then occasionally, once it grew, I would actually add water it if there was a super dry spell to, at that point. Now I do that to help take care of it. But anyway, that's one idea for either as a meditation technique or a little literal physical technique, or just the advantage of cleaning the slate and then to see what happens. And to tie that into the literature theme, that's something you can do for your writing to get some new ideas, or to enhance your observational skills, or to add to your stories, your fiction, I would say, especially what characters notice and don't notice, and such like. As I just wrap this up with a short Zen story from Paul Reps and Nyojin Sunzaki's classic Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. Hayakujo, the Chinese Zen master, used to labor with his pupils even at the age of 80, trimming the gardens, cleaning the grounds, and pruning the trees. The pupils felt sorry to see the old teacher working so hard, but they knew he would not listen to their advice to stop, so they hid away his tools. That day the master did not eat. The next day he did not eat, nor the next. "He may be angry because we have hidden his tools," the pupils surmised. "We had better put them back." The day they did, the teacher worked and ate the same as before. In the evening he instructed them, "No work, no food." Thanks for listening, and be well.